Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Aeolian Impromptu. I'm your host, Maya Barsak. Today my guest is Israeli-American composer Chaya Chernowin.
Good afternoon, Chaya.
Good afternoon to you, Maya.
Thank you so much for joining us today. A little voyage into your world.
Thank you for having me on this voyage.
So, speaking of voyage, where are you at during this very interesting time in our lives?
I'm at my home in Boston, in Newton, actually close to Boston, with my husband and son.
Taking a break right now, or are you teaching? Are you composing? What are you up to creatively and also in terms of work?
Well, I'm composing feverishly. I mean, I had my sabbatical this year, so I've not been teaching. It's also vacation right now in the university. But besides that, you know, I'm using the time to really progress on what I need to write a little bit too much on my over for the next few years. So this actually gave me a chance to catch up.
Oh, good. So can you share with us some of the works that you're working on currently?
Yeah, I'm writing a series of work, and the series is called Fast Darkness. And I actually finished the first piece in the series, a whole egg. It came out completely and very, very fast with a lot of backwind somehow. It was really a huge pleasure to write it. I was thinking about this piece as my best friend.
Oh, that's
my
best
friend for that time. And I was very, very sad that it was finished. It's about 18 minutes piece for Riot Ensemble and Garth Davis, the clarinetist. Mm-hmm. And it's a commission of a lot of festivals together, Wien Modern and Huddersfield Festival, where I will have a residence next year. So this is one piece. I'm now in the midst of the second piece in the series, which is called Fast Darkness 2, I Freeze and Melt. That piece is for Ensemble Intercontemporain with Alain Billard, again, on a bass clarinet.
Nice. So this is very interesting that these are titled, or this series is titled Fast Darkness, given what's going on in the world right now. Any correlation whatsoever?
You know, the names were actually decided upon back, a year back, but in some ways, what's happening in the world now is very related to all my world, in general, to my creative universe, in a very big way, you know, because we are in a catastrophe which we cannot actually feel directly for most of us. We just hear this person was sick or that person maybe have died. Thankfully, I have not lost anybody, but I know that people are dying all over. We know that people don't have money to live. We know that this is a huge catastrophe. Some of us very directly, but a lot of us not directly, also because we are separated from each other. So we cannot get together, we cannot see each other. So everything has a kind of a barrier between the people. We are only connected virtually. And that feeling that something is really powerful is happening, but it is not, I can only experience it in a very indirect way, is something that is very connected to my world. Also the feeling that something imminent is coming and it's not boding well, and I do not know how long it's going to happen, for how long it's going to stay, and I don't have complete control over it. Nobody has. All those feelings are feelings that I really explore for a long time in my world, this type of consciousness, because in a way, what's happening now is a kind of a magnification of what, for me, is a kind of an ongoing state.
Right. It seems from what I've had the pleasure of listening to, reading, and feeling about your music is that there's a lot of fragility and vulnerability and fragments and politics and your inner world and a language that is spoken but unspoken, inner search of everything that goes inside you and how it relates to the outer world, which is in chaos in some ways. I don't know if these would be words that you would choose to describe your music, it seems to me from the outside that these are things that you seem to be dealing with.
On the one hand, yeah, the fragility and the internal and the search, these are all very, you know, words which really apply to what I'm doing. On the other hand, there is also a very unmitigated power of nature or wildness or something which is not controlled and is maybe to some extent, an attempt to bring into being something which we don't know, which is unfamiliar and might be kind of inhuman, kind of a reference to uncontrolled nature or a nature which is unfamiliar to us and has a lot of power and has also destructive powers at times. So the unleashing of that type of force is also a part of my world, together with the fragility of the internal and the, but not only its fragility, also its ability to sustain and to come through.
And so do you tie all that in, kind of dance with also a political comment, or do you stay away from that?
Oh, you know, if you look at my operas, all of them, to some extent, all of them, all four of them are very political.
Yeah, because they deal with racism and they deal with the situation of divisiveness. And I'm thinking of this piece, Infinite Now, which to me is very poignant. And from what I understand, you're going to have now broadcast online fairly soon. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a streaming of the production, you know, great, visual and the audio on this fantastic website, which is called Opera Vision, which is a collaboration of the biggest opera houses in Europe. It's free. So Infinite Now will be there from this Friday. In Infinite Now, there is not against and for. It's not a piece that deals with this old dialectic. It's a kind of a piece that is a reflection or a kind of a very long meditation. And it is a very still and very reflective meditation about the state. In a way, that story is exactly where we are now. We are in our world, but we have discovered the abyss. And that is philosophical as well as political. For example, in the US, we have really discovered the abyss during that time of the corona. We have discovered how different it is to be a person of color during that time with no infrastructure, many cases, as their basic health, which is so much different than people who are not people of color. And we have discovered the depths of how lacking is, for example, the institutionalized medicine in this country. The situation is so dire. But, you know, those things that we have discovered are not only the things which are there right now, but also where we lack over very many years, right?
Right.
The situation that has been fermenting and that really needs to change so that George Floyd murder, there is some kind of a hope that something will change. However, in Infinite Now, it is more about the discovery of the situation and becoming aware of it. So it's not a political, it's more philosophical than political, but it is really a kind of a metaphor to our situation in real life right now, which is very strange because the piece was written actually 3 years ago.
And how do you construct your work? Do you have a process that you utilize, or is it different every single time?
Yeah, it's different every single time. It's really every piece is a new universe and a new journey, and I have to let it teach me how to approach it, so to say.
That's beautiful.
And we dialogue, and if I'm riding the wave in the right way, it will teach me how to approach it, and then I can, you know, let it speak in its own uniqueness. I'm not interested in developing my technique and repeating things that I did well. That is not my work. That is not why I'm writing music. I'm actually interested in renewal and in discovery and exploration. So that's how I work. Whenever I begin a new piece, It's like I moved an apartment because I live inside the piece. You discover your new house.
I'm curious because you speak many languages, and language is such an interesting paradigm of sorts. So when you think in terms of creating something, do you think in terms of a specific language, or it's just more abstract? I don't know if you're understanding what I'm trying to say.
I completely understand. It's a beautiful question.
Thank you.
And I would tell you this. The language is a part of it, but there are a few things. It's almost like a physical entity that I'm entering in. And it might have a feeling of speed, of relaxation or effort or weight. It might even have a kind of a smell. It's a physical entity. It's like a fast darkness one. It's not only the language. Like in that piece, I wanted to feel speed and so much wind that you cannot catch what's going on. And, you know, like imagine if you are in a car and the car is going in a huge speed, but it's not a very good car, so it's also jumping. So there is a feeling of hastiness, there is a feeling that something is incomplete, and you have to let the listener feel that something is incomplete. So it's not only language, it is everything. It's temporal unfolding, language, it's the certain use of language, you know, in tune with your idea.
And so do you search for a certain sonority or sense of sonority?
Of course. Yeah, that's a big part of it. But it's not exactly that I search for a certain sonority. It is more like that I have a kind of sonic image of something. And I don't know what is first. It's like the chicken and the egg, you know, if it's the first sonic image or its content. Content in the sense of what it is. What they really grow together and affect each other and kind of... It's like, you know, a river when it starts. It's just a little bit of water, and then the water begins to create a tiny riverbed, and that riverbed gives the power for that water to continue, and so on. That's how it evolves. So I do not make huge architectural plans, or I might make them for a moment if I feel that I'm lost and there are too many parameters or component, and then I would throw it away. So it's just a crutch for one moment. And I'm more interested in a much more holistic consciousness of where I am and where that piece is going and what it is, you know?
So when you move into a new...
Yeah.
So you're actually basically creating the space every time.
Exactly. And that space is sonority, language, time, everything.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Perhaps you have some closing words.
Closing words? Nothing is never closed, you know. And everything I said is a little bit like foam on the water, on the sea, because, of course, every composer has, especially somebody who is like me, who have worked so many years and so consistently on her work. We have so many things that are already given and worked out. And so that even when I say that spontaneously I move into a new house, and even if I say that I discover, and of course I have my own universe, which is already to some degree established way of working and established knowledge that I have already tested again and again. Of course, when you compose so many years and you have all those things, partly they are very helpful, partly they are also habits that really one wants to get out of.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was so lovely.
Thank you so much, too, for the great questions.
Yeah. My pleasure. All the best during these question mark times. The infinite now of our situation.
Yes, exactly.
And hopefully we'll be a little bit more equipped to face the challenges that face us right now, that we will learn from all this.
Let's hope so, that things will change in a constructive way.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, Maya.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's venture now and listen to a couple works by Chaya Chernowin. Mm-hmm. We just heard a couple pieces composed by Chaya Chernowin, starting off with Andiantum Capillus Veneris, Etude in Fragility Number 1, featuring soprano Inbal Hevel on a Virgo release, followed by Far Dance Close featuring pianist Alfonso Gomez. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back with another interview soon. Till then, be well.